Let's huddle up with Fanside National NFL reporter Matt Verderam. The huddle is brought to you by RedRecover.com. RedRecover.com's wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go. Go to RedRecover.com to learn more about red light with videos, blog posts, and over 40 years of medical research to treat pain, inflammation, and overall well-being. Here's NFL reporter Matt Verderam.
There he is. How you feeling, my brother? You feeling good?
I am. How are you?
Very good. We got Tua back now, bro. So, you know, hopefully we can get some normalcy here. And hopefully the kid takes care of his body and gets rid of the football. So we'll see if things get back to normal in our world. But in your world, by the way, I got to tell you something. I thought the Chiefs defense did a pretty good job defensively overall in that Bills game. Yeah. That kind of maybe sets it up for the future. Because if you're the Chiefs, okay, so you're disappointed with the result, but I think down the line you got to feel like, you know, dude, we're right there. You know, we can hang with these guys and we can beat them. You know what I'm saying? So I thought for Chiefs fans, it's not all disappointing after that defeat.
You know, I talked to people around the team after the game, and I think a lot of people inside Kansas City are feeling pretty good, quite honestly, because I think there's kind of a thought of, hey, look, beloved to win the game and didn't get that done. But this is really a brand new team in a lot of ways for them. You know, I think sometimes nationally there's this thought of like, well, it's Mahomes and it's Kelce and it's Reed, and so it's always the same. But really, the offense is totally rebuilt. Defensively, they've got a lot of young guys. And
that mistake, it's not going to happen. He's not going to do that again.
I think that's kind of the general. It's like, how many times is he going to throw a pick in the red zone and then a pick at the end of the game? Like, if that's how you're going to lose, I think the Chiefs would rather lose because the offense was a little sluggish than because the defense gave up 40 points.
Waddle this week against Minnesota.
Right, fumbling.
He basically lost the game for them. And how many times is he going to have those two brain farts? Come on.
Right. You know? I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, the Chiefs, I won't say should have won the game, but could have won the game all afternoon. And really had the game on their racket a few times in the fourth quarter and just couldn't close. But, you know, look, they'll get back Trent McDuffie. They'll get back Willie Gay. They'll get back Brian Cook. They'll get back Rashad. I mean, those are four guys, three starters, another guy who plays starter snaps who aren't in the game. If the Chiefs' biggest problem was Mahomes throwing a pick or two, I think if you're the Chiefs, you feel pretty good about what might happen down the line.
Right. Yeah. Because, again, you just said it, new offense. They're only going to get better as the season goes on because they'll get the chemistry with all the players. You know what I'm saying? So,
and maybe Odell Beckham, which seems to be something that they're interested in.
Yeah, but not that crazy ass contract he's talking about. I'm sorry. He wants, I forgot what contract he was pointing to in that report.
They're not giving him a crazy contract. Right. That's not going
to
happen.
You have to be a really bad team that is so desperate for. Right. A star to come to your town. You know, you're the Carolina Panthers or you're, you know, some team like that that is desperate to kind of raise their star or something. I can see you paying stupid money, but the Chiefs don't need to pay stupid money to that guy. That's a risk that he's not durable. You know?
Well, if you're the Chiefs, look, you're sitting there going, okay, how do we lose that game to the Bills? But lost that game because the Bills, who normally play a ton of zone defense, got into man coverage in a lot of snaps because they're not afraid of your receivers. Now, Smith-Schuster had a really good game. Had over 100 yards, had a touchdown. Kelce was Kelce, did what he always does. You need another guy. MVS is a good player, but he's not that guy. Hardman, the same thing. You need another guy. Well, if you had Odell Beckham, now it's a lot harder to just sit there and play man coverage against you. Now it becomes, even with Tre'Davious White back, okay, that's fine, but now you've got two of those three guys, Juju and Kelce as well, that you're not guarding one-on-one.
So, well, actually, that'll be the best thing that'll happen to Juju is having Kelce and OBJ.
Right, it'll open up everything for him.
Exactly.
And he's on pace for over 1,000 yards. Like, he's actually played really well for them. It doesn't feel like it because early in the year he was kind of sluggish. But
right,
I know I can even say that last year the Chiefs were in on Odell Beckham. I know from talking to people they were trying to sign him. They couldn't get it done. You know, I always kind of figured you go back to the Rams. But now with the way the Rams are playing, like if you're Odell Beckham, do you want to go back to the Rams? Plus, he feels like he got lowballed. If not there, I mean, Buffalo's interesting, but if you go to Buffalo, you're the third receiver on the team. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of – if you go to the Chiefs, you're the number one receiver, and you have Mahomes. Yeah. So, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, you got a chance to win it all. You know what I'm saying? The Rams, I don't know if they're going to win it all. The way they're playing right now, I don't know. The way I'm looking at that team. All right, so talk to me. What do you think happens in this whole Dan Snyder thing? Is he going to go after now? What is it, Pro Football Talk saying, well, he might be going after ESPN and all, because of the lawsuit, all that stuff. You got Jerry Jones and Kraft fighting in the owners' meetings about Goodell's contract. You got Irsay, who's like, yo, everybody knows all my dirty laundry, so come after me. Go ahead. Come on, Snyder. What? You know, everybody knows my shit. Let's go. Bring it on. This is, I got to tell you, this is the reality show of all reality shows. Somebody should pay the rights for that one.
You know what? I'll tell you, it wouldn't have been on my bingo card, but Jim Irsay being the reason that Snyder might get booted out of the league might come to pass because, you know, a lot of times that first guy over the hill, he gets bloodied, but like he ends up being a big part of the reason the battle's won. Well, Jim Irsay was the first owner who publicly was like, yeah, you know what? He's a problem, and I don't care what anybody else says. And, right. You know, that's going to give other guys courage to go, yeah, he is a problem. Right, I'm with him. Right, like, it's always like that old thing, like when you were a school kid, and the first kid to raise their hand in class, and then everybody else gets a little more courage to raise their hand in class, and by the 10th person that does it, everybody's putting their hand up. Well, Irsay being the first guy to be like, yeah, you know what? I got a problem with him. I'm not good with him, and there's a reason we should boot him out of here. You're now going to have more owners who are going to go, okay, yeah, sure, I'm on board.
Hey, can I bring it full circle again?
Go ahead.
It would help, and I know you're going to agree with me on this. It's not going to happen because they're very smart in all of this, and they're so royalty above most all of this stuff, but the Hunt family is the one that would be like the nail in the effing coffin. You know what I'm saying? Not Mark Davis, not right. Jerry Jones, not some of these owners that are kind of also caricatures. But if the Rooneys, the Hunts,
the Maras,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Maras.
Hunt, Rooneys, Maras, absolutely. Who just say, look, enough of this shit, basically. I mean, just say,
that's
look.
Sledgehammer. You know, that's the sledgehammer right there.
I mean, Jerry wields a lot of power, but those other owners, those families have owned these teams for, I mean, in some cases, literally almost a century. Like,
but you respect Jerry because of his, not that you respect him, but you at least respect the business.
Yes,
you know, he's savvy, but the Maras and the Rooneys and the Hunts, you respect them for the way they have carried themselves at an immaculate level for half a century. You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of respect, if you know what I'm saying.
It is. And at some point, too, here, like, look, I get it. You know, these owners don't want to boot them out because then it makes it easier to boot them out at some point in time if something happens. And I honestly think the guys like Jones and Mara and Lori, they don't want him out because he's in the division and it's the easiest two wins in the world. I mean, keep him there. Let him be there. Helps our team, right? Helps our brand.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But at some point here, for the betterment of the league, he needs to go. Like, just straight up, he needs to go. Right? Like, now, it's not apples to apples. The NBA essentially forced Donald Sterling to sell that team. Now, that became such a huge
Robert Sarver now?
Right? Yes.
Well, Robert Sarver. And remember, we had Marge Schott, which is all different. Yep. But here's the thing. Yep. Here's what needs to happen. We talked about this earlier with Rappaport, and we could go back to the Dodgers – husband and wife and their dirty divorce. The fans and the sponsors have to react, and the players. When players start saying, "I'm not playing for Washington," when sponsors start saying, I'm not buying ads for you. When, well, the fans are already saying, I'm not buying tickets.
I was going to say, the fans are there.
Yeah, the fans are already there.
Yeah.
But they get mad at me at times, and you know it because you're in the business. What people don't realize with fans out there, the tickets don't mean shit, dude.
The money they get from tickets
has no power whatsoever.
Extra money.
Yeah, it's what we have in the ashtray.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the owners. The ashtray is the regular seats. That's nothing money for them. Suites, sponsors,
TV
money. Yep. That's the big stuff that affects the hell out of them.
You know, I'll tell you one thing that nobody's talking about, although Ian would certainly be plugged into this, so maybe he brought up. The fact that they're having a hard time because of the government now getting a new stadium, that is a big problem for Dan Snyder. Because that is big money. That is suites. That is more advertising. That's all stuff you're talking about. That is the ability to upsell everything. And if you can't get a new building, because the government, the local governments over there, state's government, they don't want to play ball with you. They won't. I mean, if anybody's been following that, the state governments have basically told him to take a hike. Okay. When that starts happening, you got a big problem. Because now, the other thing that happened in the offseason that got reported was that he was basically skimming off the top, these other owners. Mm-hmm. If they find out he took 8 cents, they will boot him out of the league.
Yeah.
That is now you're starting to get to, he might be taken from owners. He can't get a deal done because he's so toxic in the Maryland, Virginia area. That is where owners don't care if the guy is a bad person. They don't care because to them, whatever, it's not my problem. I don't have to deal with it. So on and so forth. Jerry Richardson got pressured to get out of the league.
But they had the dirt. They had the dirt on him. And I don't know why they have the dirt on this guy, but they don't want to reveal it or something.
Also think, too, Jerry Richardson was an old man at that point, and it was very easy to just go, Jerry, look, why don't you just move on? And they were able to kind of push that. Dan Snyder's not an old man. Like, Dan Snyder, by owner standards, is still pretty young. So what do you do? I am of the opinion at some point here, this thing is a powder keg and it's going to explode. And I got to tell you, the NFL can sit there all day long and maybe privately worry about, you know, what dirt he has. This is the National Football League. If they want to force him out, they're going to do it. This idea that they've got to try to play politics with him, you don't think the NFL's got dirt on him that they could use to sully him for the rest of time? Yeah. I mean, if the NFL really wanted to, it would go to war with him and it would win. But it's just a matter of how long it takes that to happen.
It's a shame, man, because that was a royal franchise in our league.
One of the best. Kent Cook and Joe Gibbs and winning Super Bowls. I mean, I lived in Virginia for 2 years when I was a kid. And you couldn't find a more rabid fan base than at the time the Washington Redskins. I mean, they were – you couldn't get a ticket. And they weren't even that good. I mean, we're talking the mid-90s. Like, they were okay. You know, the Steven Davis era, Gus Frerotte, whatever. But it was right after they'd won their Super Bowls. Every single kid that I went to school with, that I was friends with, every single one of them was a Washington fan. Every one of them. Their families were. Everybody wore the stuff to the game. I mean, it was actually funny because being a Chiefs fan, the colors were pretty similar as a kid.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people wouldn't even give you crap because they wouldn't notice the difference. Yeah. But now, I mean, it's sad. It's sad. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, okay? I get what it is to be a great organization to go straight to hell. You reach a point as a fan where you don't care anymore. And that is the worst thing you can have if you're a league. Yeah. You can have angry fans. You can't have fans that don't care because they don't pay.
Yeah, that's our Marlins. That's how we are in this town with the Marlins. We just do not care. The Dolphins have not done anything for 20 years, but it's not from a lack of trying. So that keeps your hope going because they keep – oh, we bring Saban. Oh, we bring Parcells. Oh, we bring Jimmy Johnson. Oh, we bring Ricky Williams. Oh, so they keep trying and trying and trying. They've done it all wrong, although I think now is when they're doing it right. But it's different. At least when you're trying – you keep the hope going when you like the Marlins. My God, you're not even trying.
No, what's the point? You're a farm system.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. All right. So now that Tua's coming back 24 days later after that hit, on Sunday night, as a outsider now that you have watched the entire league.
Yep.
How far has this is this too extremish now? Are you afraid that it's going to cost someone a game, a playoff position, a team, something, if they pull the trigger too quickly? Look, example, Teddy Bridgewater. They have yet to show any video whatsoever that shows any ataxia whatsoever in Teddy Bridgewater, and yet they held him out for a couple of weeks. So where do you find this rule now? I know we're trying to appease the optics of the whole deal, but where do you see this? Is it too extreme?
I think you have to find the best way to ensure player safety without jeopardizing the integrity of the game. And when you start yanking guys off the field and you don't really know if they're concussed, and then you're like, look, not only are they out, but they're probably out the following week. That becomes an issue. Like you, and by the way, the Players Association probably won't say it publicly. The Players Association is going to feel that way behind closed doors. Like, yeah, we want our guys to be safe. You're going to have guys who are like, look, man, I want to play. And if I'm not concussed, what are we doing? Right. I'm missing games. They're getting paid, but it's still, you're missing games. I think you need to make sure that a situation like what happened with, or what appeared to have happened with Tua, doesn't happen again. But that just cannot happen. And I understand why the league was almost overcorrective in its action. At the same point, I also fear what's going to happen is, remember, I don't remember what year it was off the top of my head, but a couple of years ago, the league instituted that rule of, hey, look, if you lower your crown to make a tackle or you lower your head as a back, there's going to be a penalty. And in the preseason, there was a million of them, like flags everywhere. And then the season started and you never saw a penalty again. That just went away. I think that's what's going to happen once we get into these bigger games, we get into the playoffs. I mean, you're going to tell me that if Josh Allen gets hit and he gets up and takes a half wrong step, they're yanking him out of the game? There is no way.
I want to see them pull a Mahomes.
They're not going.
Rodgers and an Allen.
I mean,
and a Brady from a game. I want to see that.
I remember a couple of years ago when the Chiefs played Cleveland in a playoff game and Mahomes got knocked out of the game. He was ruled out with a concussion. And the next day, the Chiefs are like, he didn't have a concussion. He had this nerve thing where he got put in a chokehold and whatever. By Wednesday, they didn't wait till Saturday. By Wednesday, they're like, he's playing. It was just like, there was no doubt. He was going to be out on the field. If you watch the game with Chiefs and the Bills on Sunday, Travis Kelce early in the game tried to catch pass in the end zone, landed on his back, and slammed his head into the turf. And he got up really slow, and he didn't wobble, but it looked clearly like it hurt pretty good.
Right.
He was back in one play later. They didn't even check him out. I mean, he slammed his head on the turf. And he's had
This is where we walk that fine line, bro, because in boxing matches and in seven counts, how many concussions have been in seven counts, bro?
Oh, my God. Seven.
And they shake it off and they come back and win the fight.
Cool. I don't know how much of a boxing fan you are, but I
big.
Okay, right. So if you ever look back at like the old school fights, there's one fight late 70s, maybe 1980, with Joe Frazier and Foreman, where Foreman must knock him down five times in like four rounds. And he just keeps getting up, and then he knocks him down again. He gets up again. And it's just over and over. And he's good. I mean, and then on the flip side of that, there are the Tyson fights in the mid to late 80s where he just knocks you out in 5 seconds and the fight's over. Right. That guy would have gone down without even getting hit. He just wanted to get the hell out of there and get a check. But I mean, no, it's crazy to look back. Even in the NFL, I mean, when I was a kid in the 90s, like there was a playoff game with the Giants and the Vikings where Jim McMahon gets knocked out three times and just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And nobody, like, to John Madden's credit in the game, if you watch the broadcast, he actually talked about, like, they probably ought to really put him on the sideline now. But there was no outcry. It was like, well, he's good enough to go. And I don't think that's the right way to go about it.
Oh, there's only an outcry because it's the NFL. because we don't give a shit about boxers and we don't give a shit about 100%. MMA 100%. Fighters and we don't give a shit about firemen running into burning buildings. You know, there's a crap ton of, we don't care about miners down in the mine breathing all that crap for years. We don't care about a lot of things, bro. We don't care about surfers. What do you think happens when a surfer screws up in a wave that's 40 feet in the air? And as you all know, if the wave's 40 feet in there, there's no water in the bottom. And then he falls with that wave. What do you think happens? I mean, you know, come on, man.
No, look, the sports now are more visible than they ever were. Every game is essentially on national television because everybody can see it, right? Everybody's got Sunday ticket. Everybody can see every game. And look, I think it's great the player safety's come as far as it has, but there's no question. Like, let's be honest about this. The NFL is doing all this player safety stuff to protect one thing, the shield. That's what they're doing it for. I mean, I don't want to say that they don't care about the players, but I would go as far to say they care a hell of a lot more about the league than they do about the players themselves, because the players are going to come and go. The owners don't go anywhere. The commissioner doesn't go anywhere. Goodell's going to be the commissioner probably for 30, 40 years by the time he retires, right? I mean, so you look at it and just go, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, baseball, right? Like, not that many injuries. Okay, you can get away with it. How many times on basketball do you see a guy and it's like he's banged up? And now it's gone the other way in basketball. Now we have a maintenance day every other game and guys are taking 20 games off because they're tired. And people complain about that because it's gone too far. I think in football, you need player safety because of how violent it is, but you also need common sense. And they've got to find the middle ground there.
Yeah. True Fin Fan says Foreman knocked down Frazier 7 times the first fight.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
First fight. Go ahead. What?
It was unbelievable. If you ever watched it was like 1979 or 1980. And he knocks Frazier down like literally almost every other time he hits him. It just keeps getting up. Just keeps getting like, and nobody talks throughout the fight like, man, he's really stopped this thing. It's just like, yeah, he's all right. He got up.
Right. Because that's where you were getting up, being the tough guy is right. What was the thing, you know? And so that's what you respected, the guy that could get back up off the mat after taking a beating and then come back and actually even win the fight sometimes. Definitely. You know, that's there you go. Eric says it was actually 6. Well, 5, 6, 7, whatever, bro.
No matter what it was a lot.
He was concussed most of them probably throughout that. That's why, you know, we always would talk about what they were punch drunk. And it's CTE actually is what it is. It's not that they're punch drunk, it's actually CTE. And that's kind of you look at Holyfield. Go look at Holyfield doing interviews. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, look at his voice and everything, and then look at him now, and you'll see the difference, what the beating does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Tell him about Stack in the Box, my man.
Stack in the Box podcast. The YouTube page, you can check it out either just on audio on anywhere you can find your podcast or on the YouTube page. Goes up new episodes every Tuesday and Sunday. Tuesday is live at noon Eastern, as is Sunday, going right into the games. So you can check it out and subscribe and like and ask questions in the chat. Do whatever you'd like. And then also on FanSided, a lot of content. Stack the Box, the column goes up every Monday morning, covers the whole league. Got power rankings on Tuesday, quarterback rankings today on Wednesday, and then picks on Thursday along with some features throughout the week. I just wrote about how the Jets and Giants are finally making New York relevant. And here, fun fact, I'll leave you guys with. They have shared pro football for 62 years now since the Jets came into existence in the AFL. Only one time have both the franchises at least gone to the divisional round in the same year, 1986.
Wow.
The only time. And they've only shared the playoffs 5 times ever. It has been a long time since either one of them has been any good. And now both of them together, it's as rare as hen's teeth in the NFL.
Well, you got to blame more of the Jets because they're the ones that are never there.
Yes, so the Jets have been more of the problem. Yes.
Right. They've been more of the problem.
But
the
lately, Giants they've both been a problem.
Yeah, lately, they both have been terrible. But
yes,
overall,
the Jets, historically speaking, yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, they haven't kept up with it. Yeah. All right. Follow them on Twitter at Matt Verderam. And make sure you subscribe to Stack in the Box and listen to that podcast. Matt, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care. We go.
You got it. We step out. of the huddle.
This has been The Huddle with NFL reporter Matt Verderam. RedRecover.com helps pros and everyday warriors heal on the go with their medical-grade, highly specialized devices designed for each area of the body. Go to RedRecover.com to learn more about red light with videos, blog posts, and over 40 years of medical research to treat pain, inflammation, and overall well-being.